Hello. I believe that humanity is basically one. This is one of the reasons why I am a Buddhist. I believe that it is possible for any human being to communicate with any other human being, to feel for any other human being, to be friends with any other human being. This is what I truly and deeply believe. This belief is part of my own experience. It's part of my own life. It's part of me. I cannot live without this belief, and I would rather die than give it up. To me, to live, this means to practice this belief. Therefore, this belief is part of my religion. It has nothing to do with the way in which I dress, nothing to do with what I call myself. It is a matter of the way I am, the way I exist. It is the way I naturally function in the world. This is what religion really is. It is what you most truly and deeply believe. It is what you are prepared to die for. It is your life. It is what makes you what you are. It is what makes you behave in the way that you do. Religion is therefore a very important thing. In fact, it is the most important thing. So if you haven't heard that before, that's in the Puja reading book, and that's Bhante. It's from a talk that he gave in India, presumably before the FWO existed, but I don't know that for sure, actually. It could have been after. I've always found that really moving, actually. Really, really moving. Communication of something. A few weeks ago, I had my godfather came up to Cambridge, came down to Cambridge actually from Yorkshire, and it was lovely actually. A man I've always appreciated and admired actually. He's a very, very warm-hearted man, good company, but I very rarely see him. And he's become an architect. He didn't actually become an architect initially, and he was just talking about that. He was kind of wandering around Cambridge kind of like this, just sort of delighting in all this architecture. And he said to me, he said, "I don't know why I'm an architect. I've no idea, you know, what kind of sparked that off." He said, "Since I was about 3 or 4, I remember my father driving me through, I think it was Hoppingham Hall or something like that, some stately home. He was just sort of bedazzled by the architecture. So there's something, he has no idea why he's like that. And when I sat down to think about this talk, I realised I couldn't tell you actually why I am an ordinator. And it's as the other as Abhimati and Tadamachi have kind of hinted at. Well, I suppose it comes down to, you know, in a way, the question sort of why. It asks, at least superficially, it appears to ask kind of reason. And we're not really animated by reason. We're not sort of activated. My life is not sort of activated by reason. So I almost didn't want to actually come up with a set of reasons because I knew I couldn't sort of do justice really to what it is that sort of animates me, why I'm doing this. In a certain way, I don't really know. It's too big to really sort of say. But the meaning of it sort of reveals itself to me at times more than others. And this put me in mind of how Bhante talks about this sort of experience. He talks about it in terms of we've all got a sort of personal myth. So he says that in a way there's a certain sort of pattern that is, if you like, sort of complete, sort of fully formed, that in some way is trying to sort of express itself through our lives. So he's kind of at pains to point out, he's not talking about anything sort of metaphysical here. He's not saying there really is some sort of thing that's trying to sort of find its way through, like Alien or something like that. But I've been really struck by that way of talking about life and what sort of animates me, because it resonates with me. There's something in that. I certainly have had experiences like that, sort of sometimes through kind of a sense of frustration, particularly when I was younger, sort of something, a sense of kind of meaning in life that I couldn't quite sort of pin down, and knowing it in itself is not enough. One has to sort of live it. It's something trying to work itself out through me somehow. So I find this is what makes most sense in terms of why I am an order member. So I suppose maybe I'm sort of shifting the question a bit. How has being an order member kind of helped, if you like, sort of work this this pattern out? I forgot to check the time when I started. Did anyone notice?
It's okay, you've got another 10 minutes.
I've got 10 minutes, okay. I think, you know, some of the times when this was sort of, as a young man, a sort of 16-year-old, kind of, sort of feeling the sort of pressure of this, I was a rock climber. I loved rock climbing. And that was sort of the medium through which I was kind of expressing this completely inadequate sort of medium. But it's particularly through the friendship, actually, that's formed in that sort of... sort of critical situation where you need to look after each other's lives, really. So there's something I sort of experienced, kind of trying to work its way out, particularly through those sorts of friendships. I then came along to Buddhism. But what is it that becoming an order member has helped with? Well, one thing is the name. I've been given a name, and so in a way I've been given a sort of new identity. I felt this very keenly, actually, after ordination. A sort of puzzled by what on earth had happened. In a way, on the face of it, nothing had happened. I'd just got a new tag. I'd been through a certain ritual, I'd been on a long retreat, but something had shifted that I couldn't really put my finger on. And I think, you know, this is what sort of getting a new name really sort of points towards. There was a sort of new identity emerging, and this identity was really something way beyond how I usually identified myself. There was a kind of commitment to enlightenment. What on earth? whatever on earth that is. And there was a kind of resonance with that. Somehow I'd nailed my colours to the mast. I wasn't just sort of interested in this, but I'd said, you know, that's actually where I'm kind of committing to go, in that direction. And something had emerged into my experience. That commitment had allowed something to emerge into my experience. The name Artha Siddhi, if you turn it around, it's Siddhartha. Remember? So, I mean, all order names are like that, and it's kind of chastening. It's, you know, talk about being set up, you know. But that's sort of what your order name means. It's uncomfortable. It's not something you would sort of easily choose to do by yourself, in a way. So you get all this training, don't you? And you're sort of helped to work out when is the best time to make this commitment. That's the other thing that I have done. I've made a commitment. I think when I first came along to Buddhism, it's not at all the way I was thinking about how to pursue Buddhism. I was interested in the answers. I wanted the answers. I was kind of hungry for the answers. And at a certain point into my pre-Mitra study, I got confronted with this idea that it wasn't just the views, it was how you held the views. And that completely sort of stymied me. I was just sort of so wowed by that. I just never considered that to be the case. I was kind of hell-bent on kind of finding out what the answers were. In order to kind of shift that, one needs to make a commitment. On my ordination course, I heard, I should have brought it actually, but I heard quoted Rilke in his advice to young poets, talking about not being too keen to find the answers. One must learn to love the questions. And again, I was just really, really struck by that. And that takes commitment. One needs to commit. You don't know what the answers are going to be. One needs to kind of commit. One doesn't, you know, in order for this kind of personal myth to sort of find its way through, it's kind of bigger than us. We're not capable of doing that ourselves as we are. It can't be a sort of conscious, okay, I'll do that now. It's not like that, is it? We need to sort of commit to something much bigger than ourselves. Commit to a kind of identity that is way beyond the small me that decides things. So yeah, that's another thing that becoming an order member is. It's a commitment. You don't really know where it's going. That was very, very apparent to me as I walked towards that kuti. I had no idea what I was doing. I've heard other people say that, and I didn't quite believe them, but I really didn't. It wasn't doubt. It was something else. I had no idea. What it was I was doing. At the same time, I didn't know, but I had a sense of something. I knew it was the right thing to do. And of course, we kind of take on practices and kind of ways of looking at our experience that helps us sort of reveal, helps this sort of pattern or personal myth, what we sort of really are, reveal itself more fully. But when Bhante's talking about this, he also talks about, he also says that really, in order to be able to live out a personal myth, our personal myth, there needs to be a sort of public myth that allows that to unfold within. So a public myth can sort of, a corresponding public myth can help us sort of find the freedom and context for our personal myth to sort of more fully reveal itself. And this has very much been my experience actually within the order. Kind of bit by bit, something has become clearer to me about what my life is about. When I first started thinking about that question, why I'm an order member, I sort of, the only way I could sort of relate to it was, it's a bit like being asked, why do we breathe? It's like, it's just sort of, you know, breathing is sort of so intrinsic to existence, isn't it? I mean, I could come up with reasons, you know, to sort of oxygenate my blood, but that doesn't really get to it. There's something so sort of intrinsic to my life about being in the order that that sort of idea of it's a bit like breathing, and I don't mean by that that it's all easy and it's all natural. Certainly not. It's full of plenty of challenges. Okay, so I hope I've kind of said enough about these ideas of sort of personal myth and public myth for them to sort of make sense to you. Difficulty. So here I am working at the Buddhist Center, and just a number of weeks ago I was in conversation or in communication with someone that I was kind of struggling with. They're obviously struggling with me on the team. So it can be uncomfortable kind of here you are with this kind of this wonderful myth. Oh, I was gonna add one of the things that that Bhante draws out is that this myth sort of allows differing kind of personal myths to sort of align so that we can kind of work together. I'm sure we've all sensed that to some degree, but it's very, very beautiful when that starts to happen, very different people starting to kind of align and cooperate at a much deeper level. So there it was in this communication where we were not cooperating. There we are at a Buddhist centre, you know, great, perfect opportunity for kind of working this out and kind of struggling to work each other out, struggling to kind of cooperate at a certain level. And then at a certain point, something broke. We were able to come into communication. We were both finding each other a bit scary. And I was just very struck by that. It's a beautiful experience, isn't it? When we do kind of cooperate, we come together, cooperate over sort of a shared ideal. Yet the work of doing that never sort of gets easier. Still, when you come up against someone that you can't work out why you're not getting on, it still brings up the same fears, the same discomforts. It's still kind of, yeah, it's still just uncomfortable, isn't it? That human experience of kind of not being understood, wondering why you can't get on. It's kind of ongoingly challenging. Yep. So just to wrap up, I think it can tell, just as Dharmosa was talking about, actually, kind of ideals or sort of the myth of the order, Bhante's talked about as the thousand-armed Avalokiteshvara, kind of different order members with their particular skills, natures, myths, kind of cooperating, collaborating together to... for the benefit, ultimately, of others, of the world. It's challenging to do that. I can think of other times that I was going to share with you, actually, where I kind of feel like I've sort of fallen short of that. But what I wanted to finish on, actually, is experience of being on the private preceptors retreat fairly recently. And I was just very affected by being on that retreat. I couldn't quite put my finger on what it was that had affected me. In a way, it wasn't anything particularly grand. What it was there was particularly with the public preceptors, but in general, the sort of the human that with a naive idealism can get lost, get slightly overlooked. You know, one can be so sort of pleased with the sort of the workings out, the fruits of one's idealism, that we don't quite notice that we're sort of treading on people's toes in various ways. So the human, the sort of that sort of fully attentive to the fact that we fall short all the time, we kind of in smaller rather than larger, hopefully, kind of ethical ways. Was sitting so easily alongside the mythic, this sort of sense of the real sort of profound significance of the order. And that was, you know, that was borne out by people who've been kind of working at this for years. So they were kind of, it was like two old friends, if you like, those two aspects that don't always kind of come together. Kind of mutually working together. So that expressed itself just in small things like the ease with which people were able to acknowledge their faults, their little reactions. It was kind of, it's not just the fact that they had acknowledged them, there was an ease to that. That was kind of normal, that was ordinary. We kind of fall short, and that's fine. So in a certain way, the sort of the hallmark of that was sort of an ordinariness. A kind of very striking sort of ordinariness. There are the people with perhaps the most responsibility in the order, but they're kind of, they seem to be sort of the most ordinary, the most unassuming in a certain way, the most sort of humble. And that was, it was very, very affecting actually. It gave me a lot of sort of confidence in the order, basically. So yeah, anyway, that was a sort of example for me of this sort of collaborating, human beings kind of collaborating together for a greater ideal for the benefit of the world and others, which is what, something very kind of important to me, to being an order member, as to others. That's all.